Hey, this is Khalil Ekolona, host of No More Normal. Today and for the rest of the legislative session, we'll be bringing you short, daily updates on everything going on in the Roundhouse. It's a part of our joint project, Your New Mexico Government, brought to you by funding from the Thornburg Foundation. Here are our partners with New Mexico PBS with today's highlights and rundown.
Hello again. This is Kevin McDonald, executive producer at New Mexico PBS, and this is a Your New Mexico Government update for Monday, March 4th. We're going to try to do this on a daily basis now as we head into the final stretch of the legislative session, about 3 weeks left of the 60-day session. And the action is definitely picking up in this unique session, seeing as how the public is not allowed into the Roundhouse. You've heard us talk a lot about this, so access is changed. A lot of Zoom and virtual meetings, which is good and convenient, allowing folks who maybe had ways to go to travel up the Roundhouse to keep track of all things Roundhouse, but it also can make it more difficult, and we want to talk about that as well. But let's kick things right off. Again, the goal of this is to keep you up to date on the things that are going on when important committee meetings and votes are taking place, as best we can tell, and when major votes happen, and make this process all as accessible and transparent to you as possible. And so if there are particular things you want us to be watching out for, particular pieces of legislation, we want to know what they are and what your thoughts are on them as we go through this. Again, we will try to do this daily, and please also bear with us. Our apologies going in, because things will change fast and furious. So if we give you a time for a meeting, there's a very good chance that that may change slightly, that bills may get moved to different committee hearings, those sorts of things. Very much a moving target as we head into these final weeks, where it's getting a little more frantic as the work needs to get done. The real process of day-to-day business is also changing. We've seen for most of the session up till now, where especially the House is meeting daily or almost daily for floor votes, as well as committee meetings and committee hearings. But in the Senate, they have not been having those daily floor sessions on a regular basis, but that is likely to change from here on out as legislation starts to come over from the House. Bills get finalized. We've already seen some bills go to the governor's office. We're going to talk some about that here today as well. But want to get you up to date on the very, very latest. The big news coming out of the Roundhouse last night was the passing of House Bill 20. This provides medical and emergency leave for workers. And of course, public workers, state workers, government workers already have this. This applies to private-owned businesses. The hours of debate yesterday on this one, it's a fairly contentious one. Opponents say it will be devastating to small businesses across our state, which you've heard leaders on both sides of the aisle talk about what a cornerstone of our economy small business is. But in the end, that passed out of the House on a vote of 36 to 33. Very close on that one. So it now heads over to the Senate. Busy weekend also for cannabis legalization legislation. House Bill 12, after this weekend, appears to be the real front runner in terms of the crux of a legalization bill that both parties seem to be able to get on board with. It passed out of the House late last week, late Friday night, after several hours of debate there. Senate Tax, Business, and Transportation also discussed that bill along with several other Senate bills related to cannabis legalization Saturday morning. Again, for nearly 4 hours, they talked about that. Chairman of that committee, Benny Shendo, said they would not be voting on any of those bills, but just getting educated and a rundown of how those bills differ. There's at least five pieces of legislation we know around cannabis legalization going through the Roundhouse. But again, it feels like a lot of this is coalescing around House Bill 12, in part because it has already passed out of the House. And committee chairman Shendo, his sort of marching orders, if you will, for this week, because they're going to talk about these, potentially vote on them next Saturday, was that they take parts of other bills and try to incorporate that into House Bill 12. House Bill 12 is sponsored by Democrats, Representative Javier Martinez and Representative Andrea Romero, and they both testified in that Senate committee hearing on Saturday. That final vote in the House on Friday night was 39-31. We did see six Democrats who broke ranks and voted against it. One of those was Representative Derek Lente, and he is from the Sandia Pueblo, and his opposition largely has to do with how a fully legalized cannabis program in New Mexico might impact tribal governments. This bill, House Bill 12, would allow New Mexico to enter into agreements with tribal governments, much like they do with casinos. But Representative Lente talked about how concerning that was for tribes because of the fact that cannabis is still federally illegal. And we have seen as recently as 2018 in New Mexico that the Picaris Pueblo was actually raided by federal agents after the tribe tried to set up their own medical cannabis program. So real concerns there for sure. A lot of the talk in that Senate committee meeting on Saturday had to do with some of the devils in the detail, as we always talk about. House Bill 12 has risen to the top so far. In part, it sets up the system, the program for a legal market in New Mexico, and it also focuses on social justice issues. So there is expungement of previous minor nonviolent drug convictions, and it would also implement an 8% excise tax on the sale of cannabis and local government tax of up to 4%, and recreational cannabis also could be subject to gross receipts taxes, while medical use cannabis would not, and keeping a legalized recreational use market and separate, but keeping the medical program whole is a big focus for the sponsors and a lot of folks, lawmakers that are going to be voting on this. On Friday, when this vote happened, a lot of the debate in that almost four-hour time period had to do with whether local governments could be able to opt out of the proposed law. At one point, there was an amendment offered up that would allow those municipalities to do that after 6 months. They could opt out. Sponsors said that would create a checkerboard problem across the state for law enforcement. And so after some wrangling with that, originally that First Amendment was actually pulled off the floor because it didn't do enough. The sponsor did not realize that that would apply to the medical cannabis program as well. And again, lawmakers have said all along they want to protect the medical cannabis program, which is very strong here in New Mexico. There's so much more to read about this, and we want to point you to a couple things to get you up to speed and caught up on not only what's happening in the roundhouse with cannabis legalization, but also the issue of legalizing cannabis in New Mexico in general. And the first is our Growing Forward podcast, which we're thrilled to partner with the New Mexico Political Report on. It is called Growing Forward. Again, it's hosted by Andy Lyman of the Political Report and Megan Kamrick, a correspondent here at NMPBS, an on-air host at KUNM Radio. We talk about all these issues. Some of the other big issues that have come up in the debate so far are whether or not plant limits is something that needs to be factored into this, or a deal breaker in terms of cannabis legalization. Home grows is another one, folks being able to grow a small number of plants themselves, and whether or not that helps or hurts the illicit market, which legalizing is designed, everyone agrees, to quash out the illicit market. And again, anything has to maintain the current medical cannabis program. So Growing Forward is a podcast you can find anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also find it on our website at nmpbs.org. Just go under the What We Do tab and look for the Growing Forward podcast. We had an update on all of this stuff in more in-depth just last week with Julianne Grimm of the Santa Fe Reporter and Emily Kaltenbach of the Drug Policy Alliance. That was before those Saturday hearings, as well as the House vote, but you'll hear a lot more conversation about some of these issues I've touched on this morning. All right, over the weekend, another interesting tidbit had to do with Senate Bill 312, which really has to do with hunting tags, amongst other things. Right now, in our state, 84% of all hunting tags go to residents, while 10% are set aside for outfitters, and 6% go to non-residents. Senate Bill 312 is sponsored by Representatives Nathan Small, Senator Jeff Steinborn. So Jeff Steinborn is carrying this in the Senate. And the, both of them are Las Cruces Democrats. And under that bill, 90% of those hunting tags would be reserved for residents. The rest would go to out-of-state hunters. And those that were set aside for outfitters would be done away with, in effect. This stalled in the Senate Conservation Committee Saturday on a 4-4 tie vote. Democrat Jose Cervantes of Las Cruces was absent, so that's how you ended up with that even number there. And a similar vote earlier in the session also ended in a tie. And so unless there's some sort of small miracle, nothing is ever dead, but it does not look good for this as of this morning. During the vote they and the committee meeting hearing, there was a lot of testimony and comment from rural hunting outfitters about how devastating to their business it would be. And of course, tourism is a big thing in New Mexico, especially coming out of the COVID-19 shutdown. And so again, a very close vote there, but it looks like this one may be dead, at least for the time being. Also want to mention this bill would rename the Department of Game and Fish as the Department of Wildlife Conservation. The State Game Commission would also be renamed the State Wildlife Conservation Commission. All right, other developments. House Bill 211. This is something we have talked about on New Mexico in Focus, and we will put that video and a link to it in the description for this podcast episode if you want to learn more about it. But this is a bill that would create an independent redistricting commission. Every 10 years, of course, we have to redraw congressional boundaries and state legislative boundaries based on the census count, which they're working on compiling those numbers from 2020 now. We have until the end of this year to redraw those, and New Mexico has a long and sordid history in how this is done. Basically, there is no set procedure for how this should be done, and as we see across the United States, it is ripe for things like gerrymandering and the drawing of boundaries that benefit whichever party is in power. Of course, right now, in our state, that is the Democratic Party, not only in the governor's chair, but in both houses, Democrats rule the day. And so this is an important issue. The commission would be a bipartisan commission set up to redraw those boundaries, come up with proposals that then the legislature would vote on. And late last week, we got a bit of a dust-up, news of dust-up, regarding House Speaker Brian Egolf, who doesn't appear to support House Bill 211. He drew a lot of criticism from both sides of the aisle for comments that were released that he made in a Zoom meeting with Retake Our Democracy, which is an organization focused on social justice. He told folks there that this bill, this redistricting commission, would weaken Democrats' advantage in the legislature, and then therefore the Democratic agenda goes out the window. He was quoted as saying, until there's a uniform national program on independent redistricting, I'm not willing to take that step, end quote. So again, this proposal would create a 7-member redistricting commission, lay out requirements for choosing members, and they require the commission to hold public meetings and formulate 3 to 5 options for the legislature to consider during the special session. There are other proposals in the legislature around redistricting and how that would be done, some of which we'll talk about later because they will be heard in committee this week. So this is something that affects all New Mexicans in terms of how your congressional and legislative districts are constituted and how all of that plays out in the elections. Again, we had a great interview with some members of a redistricting task force that was set up last week, which really recommended this commission and this bipartisan approach to dealing with it. But there are concerns. Some opponents have already said that the House bill may violate the Constitution by forcing lawmakers to approve a redistricting plan. We addressed that in that interview as well, so encourage you to check that out when you have time. More developments. House Bill 4. This is a bill that comes out of the Human Rights Commission that was created during one of the special sessions over the summer and was really a result of the Black Lives Matter protests and movement that came out this summer. And this would end, in effect, qualified immunity, which is something that a lot of folks have been calling for, where it is very hard, if your civil rights have been violated, to sue police departments especially. And it's something that a lot of folks that you hear in the Black Lives Matter movement and elsewhere really think should be changed as a way to keep police from going beyond the bounds of their duties. And we have definitely seen our share of officer-involved shootings in New Mexico. We have seen recently in the news where the consent decree that is in place with the Albuquerque Police Department to try to get them to change a lot of things, including their use of force policy, has had so many problems that there is going to be some outside oversight of APD until we can get this locked down. So this is something a lot of folks are paying attention to. There is concern about the cost for government public bodies who would also be more susceptible, open to lawsuits when civil rights have been violated to defend and insure themselves from litigation. Also, there was more to the dust up on this over the weekend in terms of conflict of interest. Of course, we have a citizen legislature, one of the last in the country. And so you often have these conflict of interest. And there were folks who thought that House Speaker Brian Egolf should have disclosed the fact that his law firm does a lot of these civil rights adjudications. And so his business, his livelihood directly tied to this. There is an ethics commission investigation that has started on this, although Representative Egolf and his legal team have filed a motion to dismiss that over the weekend. And again, this is something that passed out of the Senate Health and Public Affairs Committee, talking about House Bill 4. It passed out of the Senate Health and Public Affairs Committee late last week, and it's now headed to the Senate Judiciary Committee. So that's another one to keep your eye on. Some other roundup news, because it was a busy weekend. On Friday, the governor signed one of the first pieces of legislation to make it all the way through the roundhouse, one that had a lot of attention going into the session. This is Senate Bill 10, which repeals a decades-old law making abortion illegal in New Mexico. And of course, federal law right now, which is Roe versus Wade, already makes abortion legal, and it is the law of the land. But Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham and Democratic leaders in both the House and Senate have made this a priority for the last several years to repeal this law, just in case the new look of the U.S. Supreme Court were to revisit Roe versus Wade in the future, and it was no longer the law of the land. Under the previous bill that was repealed, which was passed back in 1969, I believe, providing an abortion was a fourth-degree felony under that law. This was a contentious issue for several years now and really led to a concerted progressive effort in the primary in last year's election to unseat some of the Democratic lawmakers who voted against that repealing last year, most notably longstanding lawmaker John Arthur Smith, who was defeated in the primary, although his seat is now held by a Republican as that Republican candidate won the general election. But there were several Democratic lawmakers who did not jump on this repeal effort in past years that were primaried, and many of them even unseated in the primary election, largely over this very bill. But it is now something the governor has signed, and so that loophole has been closed. And so those efforts seem to and appear to have worked at this point. Also, big news last week, the House did pass the budget, House Bill 2. That, of course, is business priority number one in any legislative session. And so things are picking up there. It now heads over to the Senate as well. The vote on that, 60 in favor, 10 against, so very bipartisan support for that budget, which is a $7.39 billion budget, represents a 4.6% increase in spending over the fiscal year, current fiscal year, so that basically restores us to almost where we were in terms of the budget before the pandemic. And it will be taken up next by the Senate Finance Committee. So a couple other numbers to throw at you on this one. $3.39 billion for education included in that. So as usual, almost half or a little more than half. There are 1.5% cost of living adjustment increases for all government, public school, higher ed employees. That will come at a price tag of about $64 million. And the general fund reserves stay around 22 or 23% under this budget. Real conservative watchdogs, financial hawks on this, love to see that number closer to 30, but say that they can live with that. Again, this was very much a bipartisan effort and in a lot of ways a fairly safe budget. We talked about this on the Line Opinion Panel on New Mexico in Focus on Friday night. We'll put that in the show description as well if you want to watch more of that discussion as well in terms of how that was crafted. But again, headed to Senate Finance Committee. We'll let you know when they pick that up. All right, let's change gears now to what's on the docket for today. And again, disclaimer here, these things are always subject to change. But if you're trying to keep track and keep up to date on these things, want to let you know when to try to tune in. Let's start with the Senate Judiciary Committee. We mentioned those redistricting commission bills earlier. At least a couple of those expected to be taken up in the Senate Judiciary Committee at about 1:30 today, or about a half hour after the Senate floor session comes up. Again, you have the plan that was put forth by the redistricting task force that would create a commission, a bipartisan commission, to come up with proposals for the legislature to vote on. Some of the other proposals would basically put select lawmakers in charge of coming up with those. So again, about 1:30 today in Senate Judiciary. Also, Senate Rules expected to take up at least some of the redistricting bills, primarily that redistricting commission bill at 9 a.m. this morning. So right off the bat, Senate Bill 93 in Senate Finance today as well. We were talking about Senate Rules for the Redistricting Commission. Senate Finance expected to hear Senate Bill 93 at 1 o'clock today. This is the Broadband Access and Expansion Act, and broadband has been a big topic for the governor and for the legislature this year because of the COVID-19 pandemic, although we've been talking about broadband access for a long time in New Mexico, and there are several things afoot, including dedicating a lot of money from capital outlay this year to broadband access. So there will be a lot of discussion about that in these final days and weeks of the legislative session. On the House side, House Bill 10 also has to do with broadband. It would create a broadband development division in the Department of Information Technology. The House Appropriations and Finance Committee will be discussing that today at about 1:30. In addition, House Bill 40, also up today, that puts a moratorium on private-run prisons. That's on tap today. In the House Judiciary Committee today at 1:30 is House Bill 244. This one has to do with campaign finance reporting and closing up some of the loopholes around that and putting in place some penalties for political action committees that don't update their information. And it also requires political parties, they should provide to the Secretary of State a list of all affiliated county political parties on a quarterly basis. So for those of you who are interested in open government and transparent government processes, House Bill 244, again, today at 1:30 in the House Judiciary Committee. Want to point you to the House floor on Monday morning when they meet. They're going to be potentially voting on a couple things. Senate Bill 40 would be the first. This has to do with the K-5 Plus program, which has had a bit of a rocky start in its first couple of years, even before the pandemic. This would allow for extended learning in schools, around 20 days, I believe, 20, 25 days, and implementation has been a problem there. So Senate Bill 40 adapts and changes some of the parameters for K5 Plus program to happen. So the Senate may vote on that today, as well as something a lot of people I know are interested in, that is Senate Bill 102, which has to do with daylight savings. And Senate Bill 102 proposes setting the Mountain Daylight Savings time zone as the permanent year-round time zone for New Mexico. But the caveat to all that is that all only happens if and when federal legislation is passed, which allows states to do so. But instead of we're getting close to changing our clocks again, if this passes and the federal law changes as well, then we would have one time all year round in New Mexico, something that's been talked about for several years. We'll see where it goes this year. We want to let you know, again, things change on the regular here. We're doing our best to keep you up to date. We're going to be doing this daily, probably not as long as today, as there's a lot to get caught up on, but we want to make sure you are up to speed and have all the information you need to be an informed and involved citizen. You can always track what's going on in the Roundhouse at any time on the homepage of nmpbs.org. That's New Mexico PBS. Again, the URL, just nmpbs.org, and you'll see right there a link to a lot of the Roundhouse activities for the day. You can stream right from there everything you need. All right, we will wrap it up for today. We thank you for tuning in, and as always, we want to know how this session is going for you. If you're someone who usually makes the drive up to Santa Fe to let your lawmakers know what you think on important issues, and now that is all moved to Zoom or email or phone calls, how is that going for you? Do you find it's better, it's worse? And what are the issues that you're following closely this year so we can get you the information you need to stay on top of that? But again, this is a Your New Mexico Government episode of this podcast, and we will be back again with many more highlights and updates for you tomorrow. We appreciate you listening, and as always, stay safe and stay healthy.
This has been a Your NM Government legislative update from our partners at NMPBS. I'm Nimona host Khalil A. Colonna. Before you go, leave us a review. It really helps us out. And a quick reminder to tune in this Sunday at 11 a.m. on KUNM 89.9 FM for a new episode of Nimona.